Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now is Maria Solani. She is from the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement. Joining her is Stephen Moeller. He's a certified grief recovery specialist. Now they got the titles out of the way. We're here to talk about because they got a special event coming up. And we will be kind of talking a little bit about the lovely and uplifting topic of death and grief and bereavement. We're going to promise that this will be a good 25-minute conversation because these two people seem to be a lot of fun. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maria, let me start with you. And tell me a little bit about the coalition, its history, and your purpose.
Okay. Well, first of all, the mission of the coalition is to provide grief education, referrals, and support to the people of our Fork County area, and that would include Berga, Houghton, Keweenaw, and Ontonagon counties. The coalition is a 501c3 organization. It's a nonprofit group that has been in existence for 21 years now, and we provide grief education every year with a program. We've had several programs over the years that have been large, very large turnouts, but you know, funding has become an issue. But this year we were able to get some funding for our program from the Mary Thompson Grant Foundation that we were able to get to pay for the expenses to have the program. And so we feel really fortunate that we were able to get this funding because, as I said, you know, we are a non-funded organization and we do need some monies to run these programs. So anyway, the program will be You Are Never Too Old or Too Young to Deal Effectively with Grief and Loss. And the program will be on Thursday, August 17th from 6:30 to 8:30 at Copper Country Mental Health Institute on Sharon Avenue. That is 900 Sharon Avenue. It is next to the veterinary clinic for those folks that may not know exactly where it's located. So we are really hoping that we get a good turnout for this program.
Now, usually about once a year, I get a chance to talk to you folks, and you know, you always have really interesting events going on. And though it's always, you know, though it centers around, of course, grief and loss, there's always something that's I always found uplifting about the way that you go about it, and almost they're beautiful. From the poetry contest that you used to hold and then just some of the different events that you reach, you know, that reach out to people in this tough time because, you know, sadness is, you know, so difficult for any of us to go through. And unfortunately, all of us are going to experience it at some time. And it's nice and really wonderful that you are out there.
Right.
Handling, you know, a topic that's not easy to discuss, and certainly nobody, you know, says, you know, what do you want to do this weekend? You know, let's talk about what we'll do if one of us dies.
You know? Well, right, because no one plans that. I mean, you know, most people do not talk about it. It is a good idea, though, for families to start having these discussions, you know, what their wishes are, and we've had programs on that. And every year we've had, you know, some kind of program in the fall dealing with grief. We've had local speakers, we've had physicians, we've had, as you said, we had Art from the Grieving Heart for a number of years for students in the elementary, middle, and high school, plus the public that were able to write their grief experience. And actually, they were essays or, you know, poems or whatever individuals wanted to do to express their grief. And we actually had contests. And we had Finlandia University help us with this. And they had students and some of their instructors that looked at all of the entries and picked out winners. So we had programs within the community and the school system that allowed people to share their grief in their own way. So, you know, just supporting people in the community when they have a need. We do partner with Dial Help, which is a 24/7 hotline, and they refer people to our group members, and we are able to provide grief support as well through that. And that's ongoing.
most people will start dealing with these issues when they have to, basically when they're forced to. And ironically, it's when we're probably in the worst mindset to be able to prepare for anything. And
absolutely.
I remember I have a childhood memory of when my aunt passed away at the ripe age of 45 from a heart attack. And it was the favorite aunt, you know, that person in the family. And after the funeral, you know, I don't know, you end up on somebody's call list or mailing list at sometimes. And so somebody called the house selling burial plots and got, you know, got my dad. And of course, my dad's still trying to process, you know, my mother's sister who had just passed and a very close friend of theirs. And it's like, well, this is great. What do I want to do? Go visit some place and say, hooray, this is where I'll be when I'm dead. And I remember saying that. You know, and I thought, you know, and his response was the same, was, what a terrible time to try to think about that, you know, when you have all the other stresses that go along with it. So when we talk about preparing or going to a presentation like this, it's because we want you to be prepared and not have to deal with those, you know, those decisions and those issues when they come.
Well, and I think one thing that is sometimes missed is that grief isn't just about death. Every major change in your life has elements of grief attached to it. And kids' first experiences with grieving aren't often the death of somebody in the family. Sadly, sometimes that is the case, but it might be the death of their pet or the death of their goldfish. A goldfish is a pet, too. And some of the things that we inadvertently pass on to our children at that point on how to deal with it set the stage for their having troubles as they get older in dealing with grief and loss. When you move, when you graduate, every big change has elements of grief attached. Divorce, oh my gosh, or the breakup of a relationship. And so our focus at this talk, yes, we're going to be dealing with grief from the standpoint of when somebody dies, but grief is a much broader picture than that. And my goal is to give people some tools to use to be more successful in dealing with the emotional pain of loss, whatever that loss might be. So often we treat it as an intellectual issue. We give people lots of logical reasons why they shouldn't feel bad. Doesn't matter how logical you are at that time, your head isn't broken, your heart is broken. So we've got to approach it from that standpoint. And that's something, the reason it says you're never too old or too young is we can start really teaching our children at an earlier age with those, what we consider relatively minor losses, but to them are major crises. I mean, you look at a 2-year-old who loses their balloon. And that is a heartbreaking crisis for that child. We look at it as adults, oh, well, we can get another balloon, but they're so attached to that one. We want to give people some tools to pass on to their children at an earlier age so that when they are dealing with a huge loss, a loss that just knocks them down, they're in better shape to be able to get back up again.
You know, as you talk, it almost seems like it makes more sense to for somebody who's younger to make sure that they, you know, to get some education or some understanding ahead of time, because when you're that young, you haven't had a whole lot of experience with loss. As you get older, you're undoubtedly going to experience it, and some of us get pretty good at it.
Oh yeah.
You know, you end up losing a lot of people, you know, as you get older, and you're far more likely to lose a parent before you're going to lose a spouse or somebody. But so when we think, oh well, you know, deal with grief when we get older. No, it's actually the grief that's going to hit us when we're younger that will be the hardest to process because we haven't had it before.
Yeah, and what we try to do, because we're parents, we want to protect our kids. We don't want them to feel bad. And we tell them things like, don't feel bad. You got to be strong. You got to keep busy. Telling somebody not to feel bad doesn't make them feel better. It just makes them hide that pain and stuff it inside. Being strong and keeping busy makes you socially appropriate. Other people can be around you because you're not falling apart in front of them, but it doesn't do anything to deal with the pain in your heart. And what a lot of people do not understand is that grief is cumulative. Every time we have another loss, it's like adding another chunk of something into that pressure cooker we hold inside. And if we don't have a way of releasing those emotions attached to that, then it puts us in a position where, you know, like an old pressure cooker used to put a dent in the ceiling above. Sometimes we just blow up because we've got too much stuff going on inside. And I'm all about finding ways for people to release that emotional energy in a safe way so that, when it gets to be a death, one thing that gets to be real hard for a lot of people is they're having a fairly good day. Everything's going pretty well. And then they see something that reminds them of that person. And suddenly they start thinking of a wonderful, probably positive experience. But then they start thinking, but we didn't do this and we didn't do that. And this wasn't done. And this is where we left this thing. And we argued over this and wasn't that silly. And that beautiful, fond thing that reminded them of that person now is deteriorated to a point where they're falling down and crying. And I want to give people some tools, if you will, so that when those things happen, they have a way of releasing this so that it doesn't all build up inside.
So you're going to be the guest speaker at this presentation. It's entitled, as Maria had put on earlier, You Are Never Too Old or Too Young to Deal Effectively with Loss. Again, this is on Thursday, August 17th from 6:30 to 8:30 at Copper Country Mental Health in Houghton. What kind of things will people be doing here?
Well, they're going to get to spend a little time listening. I am going to talk a bit because I want to paint a little picture, if you will, of what is it that we learned growing up about loss and how that kind of gets in the way of our being successful in dealing with it as bigger and bigger losses happen in our lives, and then give them a few tools to work on from there. My job outside of having a chance to enjoy the Copper Country, and I've been coming up here all my life, so this is like a second home to me, is working with grievers around the country. I work with the Grief Recovery Institute, and they are an international organization. We have branches around the world. But my job is to go into communities and help teach people how to set up effective grief recovery programs in their community. And then I also write for their website so that, because we have people that, we have inquiries that come from literally all over the world of questions about dealing with elements of loss. And so we try and support people through that. Most of the losses do relate to death because death is the one thing that we identify as a grieving experience. Sadly, all those other losses we experience are sometimes discounted. They've been called disenfranchised grief because other people don't recognize them as grieving experiences and so discount them when people are hurting and pain. And with the economy, what it has been the past several years, there are a lot of people that have lost jobs. That is a grieving experience, but we don't treat the emotional pain those people are going through. It's all about finding another job and being successful and everything else. But there is that pain we have to deal with on any level.
Part of my job every morning is that I come in and I read the obituaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And as it's going to happen, especially in a small town in the years that I've been doing this, I have found out six of my friends have passed away by walking in here at 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and first thing I got to do is read their name and how they died and when.
Yeah.
And then after everybody else wakes up in the morning, then I contact people that I know and say, did you hear about, you know, so and so? Because the first thing that I have to do is very business. You know, I have to get on air and then read these things, and it channels that energy or that grief in a different way so that I don't experience much of an emotion.
Yeah.
Because I can't, I have a job to do, can't afford to.
You have to be there for everybody else.
And so by the time the morning has come along, I've already factualized what has happened. And now I might, of course, reach out to other people who are just finding out about it themselves. So do you find that, do you find that there are good and bad ways of dealing with grief?
Oh, heavens yes. Heavens yes. I spent 40 years in funeral service, which means that I've seen a lot of grief. Funeral directors have seen a lot of grief. That doesn't mean they know what to do with it. I was really concerned about that aspect. That's why I went for further training and everything in that area. But There are a lot of people that really tend to take that position of being emotionally in control. They're there for other people. In a sense, what you're doing in your job here is being the parent that is being strong for all the rest of the people in the community so you can share with them the story of what's going on. But like any parent or person in your position, when you're off the air or when you have moments afterwards, you need to take care of your emotional well-being, which you do with following up with friends and things like that. But so often we get so involved in taking care of other people. I remember a service some years ago, and this couple had lost their son. They had two daughters who curiously had married two brothers, but they also had a son, and their son was killed in an accident. And the father in this family was so strong through the whole thing. He was the glue that held everybody else together. And after the funeral service, I was taking some more things over to their house and got there just as the ambulance arrived, because he had just collapsed. He'd been so strong for everybody else and hadn't taken care of himself that his body just shut down. And he ended up spending a night in the hospital just because he was just overwhelmed with the loss but hadn't allowed himself a chance to deal with it because he was taking care of everybody else.
You were talking about how grief can manifest itself for different reasons other than, you know, a death in the family or death of a loved one. And, you know, in my family, we've also experienced where there it hasn't been a death, but then it's been a serious illness.
Yes.
You know, even something like Alzheimer's or cancer, and, you know, you have so much to deal with, especially if you're the caregiver for that person. And the person that you loved is really not there anymore. They're still around, but it's not the person that you married and grew up and spent the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years with. Do you have a right to grieve at that point, or do you have too much work to do, and how do you do it?
I think you can do your work more effectively in helping those people by taking care of the grief that's going on in your own life. And believe me, I can relate. I won't say I know how you feel, because nobody ever knows how anybody else feels. But we moved my parents to Oklahoma, where we live, from Arizona, because both of my parents were suffering from Alzheimer's. And my sisters, one in Arizona, one in Oregon, were not equipped to handle this. They were at a loss. So my wife and I moved my parents next door and kept them at home as long as we could. We got a house that was built with the same kind of design. But in order to be good caregivers for them, we needed to work on our grief issues related to the change in my parents. And that way we could be champions for them. And we really had a good time with them because we didn't allow the emotional pain to get out of hand. We dealt with that as we were going through the process so that we could be there for them as they were today and not living with the woulda, shoulda, couldas of who they were before. We dealt with that part. We dealt with that aspect of the grief so we could be there for them now. I think it's a really important thing for people to be proactive for themselves, especially when they're caregivers or they're dealing with really tough situations. I've had people who lost a family member to murder. That person was attacked by somebody else. And they were going to be going through a court case and said, I really can't do any grief work until I get through this court case. And I said, you owe it to yourself to do work for yourself now before it goes to trial, because we know that takes years nowadays, so that when you're at that trial, you're approaching it from a perspective of justice as opposed to the perspective of how totally devastated you are. Because if you depend on that person that committed the crime to recover you from the loss, you'll never feel better. You have to take action for yourself. And time is not a factor.
As a counselor, if the person that is suffering the grief, if the presence or absence of religion, does that go into how you approach talking to them?
Not really, because the approach we take is one of dealing with a broken heart. We trust that if they are a person of faith, they're getting support in their faith community. So we work on emotional issues and don't deal with the faith issues. I can tell you quite honestly, in the over 30 years that I've run grief recovery programs, I've had people involved that were people of no faith, and I've had clergy people, nuns that went through this training, because they recognize that faith is a component in your happiness, but also that emotions are a slightly different component. It's almost like interlinking rings. We have multiple relationships with people. We have a physical relationship, a spiritual relationship, and an emotional relationship. I focus on the emotional relationship and leave the spiritual part to those people that are focused in that direction. Sadly, if it's a death, the physical relationship 99.99% of the time ends. But sometimes it's an ongoing situation, because grief isn't just about death. It might be a couple that's having issues in their marriage, and by dealing with some of the grief issues that they've got related to each other and their interaction, sometimes we can make that physical relationship come back too.
Well, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of great information at this presentation. Besides somebody who is experiencing grief, who could benefit from coming?
I would say anybody that works with other people.
Absolutely. Everyone. You know, families, loved ones, professionals, counselors, faith community, just general public. Everyone is welcome, and they will benefit, because we all deal with grief in our own way. So, I mean, I know the grieving loss of a job, and, you know, or changing jobs, or a pet. I mean, those are all grief issues that we all deal with. It's not always, you know, at the time of a loved one's death. So this presentation will be great for the whole community.
And I really think professionals, as she said, I think professionals can really benefit from this, because when people are dealing with heavy emotional issues, they'll go to their doctor because that's the person they turn to for help. And while the doctor can prescribe medication, sometimes if they have a few tools to understand that grief is the normal and natural reaction to any loss, that gives them another tool to use in that process. Clergy people can benefit, just because what is the shortest sentence in the Bible? Jesus wept. Yet somehow when we tell people, what happens with a lot of people is they're told, if you have great faith, then you never need to cry because that person's in a better place. Why is it Jesus can cry and we can't? And so I think sometimes having another direction to offer assistance can be very positive there. And please understand, I'm not saying anything negative in the faith community. I consider my faith very important to me. But sometimes we lose track of grief is an emotional matter, and it has to be dealt with on an emotional basis.
And I can, you know, picture law enforcement, educators, anybody that, you know, may have to deal with the public, even though it might not be your primary job, it still might be good to know, as you said, just have a couple of tools there in the toolbox, and, you know, so that, you know, maybe to keep you from making a mistake, you know, when dealing with, you know, somebody who's grieving.
Well, and I'd say anybody that works with children, too, can benefit from coming and seeing, what is it I can do better for my children to give them better tools to start with, instead of just be strong, don't feel bad.
Do you need to pre-register to attend?
No, you do not need to pre-register. Just come for 6:30 on Thursday, August 17th at Copper Country Mental Health Institute.
Okay. Is there any cost to attend?
There is no cost.
That's the best part of all. You're paying a cost. You're putting in your time. That's the most expensive thing all of us have. But I promise we will not waste that time.
Maria, you said that there were needs that the coalition had. And if somebody wanted to be able to support the coalition, what are some things that they can do for you?
Well, financially, they could always help us. I mean, you know, they could offer a donation if they like. Since we are a 501c3 organization, it is a tax-free donation. Also, if people want to join us, we are always looking for new members, so you could come and attend our coalition meeting on September 19th of this year. We hold them at the Kangas Cafe at 11:30. The second Tuesday, but this is September 19th that we will be having our annual meeting. So if there's interested parties that would like to come and join us, by all means, we are always looking for new members.
And I want to put in a plug for them as well, because I travel all over the country teaching people how to set up effective programs. And to come to a place where there are four counties together that have a coalition that is focused on this subject is really a wonderful thing. So often you go to towns and there's this group here and this group there and nobody talks to anybody else. But to have an organization like this that's really trying to take care and nurture the community is a blessing that I hope people don't take for granted.
Contact information if people want to be able to find out more. Do you have any of that?
Yes. Nancy Wakeman is our contact person. And you can get a hold of Nancy at her email address. It's www.nlwakeman, it's W-A-K-E-M-A-N, at gmail.com. Or you can call Dial Help, and they could always refer anyone that is interested to Nancy or one of our board members.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
This was fun. I'm really thankful you invited us.
Can I also add that we do have a webpage? Okay. It's www.grief/ccgb.org. And we have a very lovely web page that gives out information about our programs and the organization when our meetings are.
All right.
So people can look at that.
And you can learn more about the group that I work for, the Grief Recovery Institute, by going to grieffrecoverymethod.com.
Thanks so much. Calvert Country Today. We'll be right back.